Thanks, worship team, for leading us so well into God's presence. I have a greetings from Mike. He apologises for not being able to be here. He's been around actually the last couple of weeks looking and thinking and praying with us as a team, wondering what God's got for us, really, and wants to speak into that in the next couple of weeks. In fact, you'll see a video a little bit later that he's made for today, and wanted to thank Tyson Austin as well, who helped him with that video. Let's thank Tyson for that. Fun, buddy, put plenty of hours into that. The reason Mike isn't here and why he apologises for is that he, most of you would know that he's a chaplain at the Crows and really felt called to that space, and God called him into that place of being Jesus in that space. But one of the things that comes with that role is every so often they have to do an accreditation, and it just so happened to land this Sunday, and there was no other time. It was just, this is when it was happening. So he had to go do that accreditation. So apologises, but like I said, we've got a video from him, and he'll continue to share next week just on vision for this year and where he feels like God is calling us to. In fact, I'd really like us to pray for Mike in that situation, but pray for all of us. Really, really believe that where you work and live and the places that God has you, it's not by accident. It's not by accident that you live in the place you live, work in the place you work. You are to be Jesus and be on mission wherever that is. And I'd just love to pray for us all into that space. Is that okay? Yeah, let's do that. Father God, thank you that you give us a purpose, a meaning, that we are your sons and daughters, but you have also got us in places. And so often we forget, so often we're worried about the things that we need to do, rather than realizing you have got us on mission, that we are all missionaries. Some of us are at high school. Some of us are at uni. Some of us are working in factories, in businesses, in the outdoors, or like Mike at the Crows sometimes. You want to use us to be your hands and feet, to be Jesus. So Lord God, I'd ask you'd fill us, each one of us. Even for those who do not work, you've got them, you've got us in neighborhoods. We need you, but this world desperately needs you. And so Lord God, we put up our hand. If you feel God is calling you to put up your hand and say, use me, God. Use me. I'm open to the way you want to use me, God. Show me not just what to do, but who you are calling me to, God. Use this church to further your kingdom, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want to speak to you this morning, just preface a little bit of the video that Mike's made, but really want to speak to the idea of vision versus values, and those three words. Hopefully if you've been around our church a little bit, you've heard and seen these value words of life-giving family. And they exist by themselves as three value words: life, being giving, being family, but they also exist together. We are wanting to be a people who are a life-giving family. Now, vision is so important. Meaning and purpose is so important. And the Bible talks about these things. Abe, you're able to click us to the next slide. I want to look at Proverbs in the King James Version, where lots of wisdom is. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Strong words. Another version of that, the Message. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. When we can see that God is at work, and we can see the vision of that in our every day, we have a purpose, we have a meaning. We are blessed, that we are those, that happy, not the frivolous happy, but that joy that we get, that we aren't just aimlessly having meaninglessness, which heads us towards destruction and perishing, but it's actually where we find meaning. Yeah, move on, Aiden, next one, thanks. Talking about vision is important. That seeing what God is doing or asking God, what do you want me to do, is really important. It gives us purpose and meaning. But there is actually a little danger in that too. I actually think there is a little bit of danger that it needs to be tempered with something, because we've all seen in this world when people have a goal, humans sometimes, even if it's lofty and wonderful and beautiful, humans sometimes in the pursuit, if it's just one track at a goal, sometimes they'll do anything to get there. I think the worst things that have happened in our history as humans quite often have started with a good goal. But when humans only care about the goal, they can sometimes do terrible, terrible things, can't they? Can we think of any examples of this?
Hitler.
Yes, Hitler, the winner of any argument, bring up Hitler.
Mao Zedong.
Mao Zedong, ooh. Yep, we're getting... Yep, well... The one we talk about a fair bit at school, and the example that of is Pol Pot, yes. And read a really interesting biography on Salazar. That was his name before he took on the name Pol Pot, which is number one, person number one. His goal was for equality for everyone. He saw oppression in his country and was desperate to see that everyone to be treated equally. And he, with other people that he considered intellectual, started a group that wanted to bring that by force, and then had ideas on how to do that, and in the end, killed millions and millions of his own people in pursuit of them all being treated the same. If we are driven just by a goal, we can get ourselves in trouble. And I think this is why values are so important, and they should be held hand in hand. And God understands this, and God speaks to this in His Word. That yes, goals give us meaning and purpose, but our guiding principles should be probably based on values and not on goals. Because if our guiding principle is the goal, we can sometimes have this end justifies the means mentality. Yeah, when actually God cares about the means, sometimes more than even the end. Because this is the trust that we need to build, and especially as a middle class people, this is the trust that we need to build in our God, and faith and trust in that He will ultimately set things right. This is what we believe in, isn't it? We believe that Jesus was resurrected and will come again because He will set things right. Yes, we partner with Him right now. Yes, we are part of the goal of what He's doing in us and through us, but ultimately He's going to do that. So our guiding principles should be values. Yes, He's going to set the world right and make it all new again, new heaven, new earth. And He asks us to participate, but He doesn't ask us to make it happen, just us. And we shouldn't have the anxiety of worrying about that, because it's not by our power, it's by His power. In our weakness, He is strong. Yeah? Values are who we are and who we want to be. Vision is what we're striving for. But the importance of these values really should be the thing that shapes us, the guiding principle, the thing that we should care about first. So what are some of these? Well, we should probably know Galatians 5 is one of the things that I'm reminded of, that God is looking to shape us to be who we are. It's the values. It's not external, they're internal. Yeah? They're internal things. I wanted to read a bit more of the passage because I thought it was really interesting, and it's well worth us going and meditating on this. So often we get to the positive, but I was really interested in the way the message shared the values, almost the anti-values. Yeah? And I so often think that's what I found interesting about this list, was I think it's the way that we sometimes lower ourselves in the pursuit of a goal. Yeah? In the pursuit of something we think's right, we can sometimes do silly things. And this is in this list. It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex. A stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. Frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness. Trinket gods. Magic show religion. Paranoid loneliness. Cutthroat competition. All-consuming yet never satisfied wants. A brutal temper. An impotence to love or be loved. Yep, next one, Abe. Divided homes and divided lives. Small-minded and lopsided pursuits. A vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival. Uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions. Ugly parodies of community. And I could go on. This isn't the first time I've warned you, you know. If you use your freedom this way, you'll not inherit God's kingdom. And then it goes on to the bit that we know and know well, which is the fruits of the Spirit, from the NIV version I wanted to read from. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. These are the character that God wants to work in us through His Holy Spirit, that we are part of His kingdom when He allows these to work up. These are the value words that internalize us. And we've wanted to share this in some way with you, in what God wants us to be and what God wants us to value, that if we hold to these things, against these things there's no law. If this we allow God to change us to be who we want to be and who we are, then we won't be set wrong. The vision won't be wrong. Does that make sense? Yeah? And I think this is how we feel as a team together, as a community together, that this life-giving family of values that we feel like God is calling us to be life, to be giving, to be family. And these are the ways we can live out these values. So I'm going to show you the video now. Abe's going to put that on. So just listen to Mike's words. Thanks.
G'day there to the family that is the King's Community. Hard to believe, but here we are, the end of week one of term one of 2020. I wanted to say a few words to you today via video because yes, I know I've been on holiday for more than a month, but unfortunately I can't be there in person with you today because as many of you would know, one of the doors that God has opened up for me in ministry is to serve as the chaplain to the Adelaide Crows, and Now and then I have to update my accreditation with courses of one kind or another that are only offered on one day during the year. Today is that day. So I am getting my accreditation up to date to continue in that role, but I still really wanted to be able to bring a few words to you to kick this fantastic year off as we look to the year ahead. Some time ago, the leadership of the church went through a season of thinking, discussing, praying, and discerning what we believed the value words were that God wanted to articulate for our community as we looked forward to the future of the King's community. And I hope that you remember what those words were. If you don't, let me give you a reminder. Those words are, we want to be a life-giving family. They are words that are, of course, not just words, but they're values. They're values that at one and the same time represent who we hope that we already are, as well as who we hope to be more and more. They're deeply aspirational words that represent the best of who we are, as well as who we can be, a life-giving family, as we follow Jesus as individuals and as a whole community. And while I believe that you can find the deep vitality of these words, life-giving family, expressed throughout the entire sweep of Scripture over and over again, sometimes it's by just looking at one passage in particular as a bit of a window through which we can have a look and see a new beautiful reality taking shape. So what follows is a reflection on some very familiar scripture that I'm sure that you will know in light of our value words. But what it isn't, it's not a detailed commentary on this scripture. It's not a thorough exegesis of Genesis 1. It's not a philosophy of ministry for the next 5 years going forward, or a picture of a certain goal that we're headed towards and how we're going to get there. It's rather a look at the words and the values that we hold dear as a community, because I think that it's a pretty good idea at the start of any year, let alone the start of any decade, for any group, any organization, but especially a church, to stop just for a few minutes and think about the reason that we actually exist. So, some thoughts to begin 2020. King's Baptist Church exists as a practicing faith community first and foremost because God wills it to do so. We model our collective life on what has been revealed to us in Scripture through the life, death, and resurrection of his son Jesus, and through the ongoing revelation of the Holy Spirit. The revelation began with these words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Spirit of God was moving upon the face of the deep waters. These words are so familiar and yet also so mysterious that it's understandable that we might miss the significance of even the very first phrase, that in the beginning, God. The significance of the fact that according to this story's beginning, taking place when the earth was formless and void, and all we are told is there are some deep waters, and yet in that nothingness is someone, personhood, being, consciousness, presence, someone. The writer of Genesis names this person God. In the Old Testament, the use of this word was often expressed with what grammar nerds would call the definite article, as in the God. At times, the author of Genesis adds another significant word, the living God. What's the implication? This is a reference to a particular God among many, many gods that existed in the ancient Near East at the time. This is the God of Israel. And as far as the biblical narrative goes, this is the only God that matters. And what we quickly find in this narrative, in this ancient creation poem, is that innate to this God's character is a generous creativity. God gives of God's personal self in the expression of nothing less than the cosmos. God must express his nature. And that nature also has a unique word in the original language. Chesed, eternal loving kindness. And the expression of that loving kindness reaches a crescendo in this poem with the breath of this divine God given generously to them who are said to have been uniquely made in the image of this God. So God created mankind in his own image, says the poem. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. Generously given to these human reflectors of his image, God gives away that which sets these persons apart from all else in creation. Until this point, only God has possessed that which we might describe as consciousness itself, or freedom, or choice, choice of thought and action. And to these creatures are given instructions to go and live in accordance with their nature. Go and do and be, says God, make love and create love with the loving kindness embedded in their own being. In the message, Eugene Peterson translates these verses like this. God blessed them. Prosper, he said. Reproduce, fill the earth, take charge, be responsible for the fish in the sea and the birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. And the vehicle through which God chose to begin the work as co-creators with mankind, the first congregation, was the first family. It was this God who concluded that it was not good for man to be alone. And it was also the writer of Genesis who first uttered the mystery that a man leaves his mother and father and embraces his wife and they become one flesh. The first poem concludes that after this creation, God looked over everything he had made and said, "It's good, it's very good." And to this we say, Amen. So here we are, folks. I'd like to offer some reflections and encouragement on these value words in light of this passage that I've just been talking about. Let's talk about life for a second. The story starts with God giving life because that is what God does. When God comes to earth in the person of Jesus, he says that he is the way and the truth and the life. In fact, he says more than that. He says that he has come so that he might give life and that we might experience to the fullest extent that we possibly can. This is to say that, according to Jesus, there is this incredible vitality to life that is offered to us in the person of Jesus. I read somewhere recently that the opposite of depression is not actually happiness, but the opposite of depression is actually what could be called vitality, or a full presence and participation in life with the people that God has put around us to do life with. And this is what we see in the conversations, the friendships, the actions, the symbols in the storytelling of Jesus of Nazareth. And yet, in what might be called the sort of divine irony of this life that we're invited to experience, participating in life's full measure is not to be found in accumulating pleasurable experiences or possessions, but it's actually to be found in the generous passing on of this life force that God has given to us. This is what we have the pleasure and the honor of passing on to others. One of the great things about being part of the King's community is that this is a dynamic place in which to participate in life. We are reminded every single day by the literally more than 1,000 kids that come to participate in life at King's Baptist Grammar School, and as part of all of those that participate in life by being part of our church and part of the Early Learning Centre, that life is dynamic. It's constantly changing, inviting us to consider what it is that God is up to amongst us and what He wants us to be about. So as we think about what the gift of this life leads us to, it brings us to the second of our value words, the idea that having been gifted life, we are called to be givers. We are a giving community. The Genesis story begins with gift. The created order brought into reality through the spoken word of God. You know, Jesus actually articulated the very purpose of his own life in the reality that he was called to give it all away. And that's why he said in John chapter 15, greater love has no one than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. You know, disciples of Jesus for more than 2,000 years now have believed that having been gifted the life force that they received, not having asked for it, but just purely as a gift, and touched by the needs of the world and the people around us, followers of Jesus have believed that we are at our best as human beings when we participate in his mission, not of, like I said, hoarding experiences or possessions or money, but participating in the act of giving away of ourselves in the unique giftedness that each of us have. You know, it's basic to the life of the church that every single follower has the capacity to give of themselves in a way that's either slightly or really different to the person next to them. Think about it. If we were all the same, it'd be a very boring life. So if your gift is to prophesy, then prophesy. If it's to show great faith and generosity with finances, give as much as you can. If it's to serve with all of your energy in whatever way you can, do that. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Folks, the reason that we actually exist is because this worshiping community for over 100 years has given of itself, of its time, of its energy. And this space that I'm actually standing in, and the reason that it's a bit echoey, is because we are on the verge of a brand new season of life at the King's Community. A season of life where new structures and facilities and relationships are calling out the best of us to give of ourselves in a way that just produces more life. Right now I'm standing in what are the new church offices, and in a couple of weeks we actually will have the pleasure of moving into. And over the course of this year, you will continue to see the life-giving force that is really at the heart of our community, modeled on the life of Jesus, continue to shape up amongst us. The third of our wonderful value words is, of course, family. Family. Jesus said these words. He said that by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, sometimes when we hear the word love, we associate it immediately with romance. But loving the people of our neighborhood is what has resulted in us wanting to give a life-giving family to the kids as well as the extended families the service of things such as this wonderful new Early Learning Center that is now up and running. Choosing to participate in life with God means being committed to loving God and loving others, as well as being loved by God and being loved and known by others as well. The story of Scripture is not communicating to us God's personal salvation project, by which our chief goal is to get to heaven when we die. But it's actually about calling us into the process by which God is saving and redeeming the whole of creation, or the cosmos, as the Apostle Paul calls it. And he promises us that everything that is broken and wrong with the world will one day be made right. And what we're called to do is to participate in that reality in the life that we live now. Now, let's be honest. It's hard to imagine everything that that means. That's a lofty and mysterious final destination that is described in the to move us towards that reality through the witness of the life of his human beings belonging to one another in increasing relationships of love and trust. This is what the church is when it's at its best, and it's what we want to be, a family. And so it's also necessary to say that life as a family, as a church family, the same as any nuclear family, has a particular flavor, a feel, and a rhythm to it. And while we're mindful here at King's Baptist that the modern family now takes many varied expressions, our hope is that in orientating ourselves around the person of Jesus, we have the capacity to be a growing witness of love and life to our community, our neighborhood, demonstrating the love of Christ in the way that we love one another. Friends and family of the King's community, I've offered the reflections that I have on our core value words in order to revisit the why of who we are and why we do what we do. There's no question that in 2020, there's all sorts of wonderful expressions of our life-giving family set to take shape, both in buildings and structures and ministry, but also through the ministry of the people who are part of our church, and that's you. If you'd like to have a chat about what your contribution might be to this community, I'd love to have a chat with you. So give us a call. I work here.
Thanks, Mike. That's a great reminder of the things we want to commit to. We commit to being life, giving, family. To be the things that God has called us to. To be who we are, but also to be more and more of that. So the challenge was there, Mike, think about how you can contribute. You know, we're called to be life. Jesus said, He's come to give life and life to the full. How do we do that? God is a giving God who hasn't held back himself, and he asks us to reflect the same. He wants us to be givers. And he also wants us to be family. In the same way, all are welcome in his family. You know, even that crazy uncle that's part of your family. I'm welcome in this family. Yeah, and so are you. And life groups are a perfect expression of who we want to be and who we are. So we want to be in that space where we are life and vitality. We are giving to one another and we are family. So again, reminder, if you're not a part of one of those, please come see me. If there's something, the way that you can contribute, please speak to Mike or Kat or myself, because that contributing and belonging are such important parts of who we want to be. And I'll ask the worship team up and we're going to finish with a song, but let me pray to finish as well. Lord God, thank you just thank you. You don't hold yourself back from us. Your love sometimes overwhelming. Sometimes we feel undeserved. But we are your children. and you don't hold yourself back. Help us to be people just the same. People to find life, find a way that we can give this to others. Help us to belong in this family. Looking forward to what you have for us in the coming days and weeks and months. In Jesus' name, amen.
Feel free to stand and sing with us for this last song.